the rains wouldn't have just wet us, but the rains would have drowned us. And the fact that whatever your rain is, that you have not drowned yet, means that God is yet working, even in the rain. Because by no means was the devil just trying to wet your hair. By no means was the devil just trying to mess your makeup up and get your clothes. But the devil that designed that rain to kill you, the devil designed that rain to take you out of here. But the fact that you're still alive means God is yet working in the rain. So thank God for the rain. Today is a combination of a period of time where a lot of us have been praying and fasting, and I believe every one of us has been expecting God to move and looking forward to God's outpouring and leading us, his church, into a new season. A season of fulfillment of promises. A season of God ushering us to where it is that he has called us to be. And I had no idea that Michael ended up with a recording contract. But when I heard Michael had a recording contract, I said, that is just confirmation that God is opening doors for his people. That should have made somebody almost lose their mind, like, oh my God, it's real. Everything that we've been saying is not a lie. That right there shows us that God is saying, out of 40,000 people, I'm going to look down on my child. And I'm going to open the door for him, because now is the season where those that are faithful to me and those that trust me are getting ready to walk into what I put inside of them. And she said he had that inside of him since he was 8, because God places our callings, our gifts inside of us. And he said, now is the season where I'm pulling those gifts out of you. But before we get to those seasons, are those rainy times, are those times of living in the wilderness. But God's promise has nothing to do with the wilderness, or the wilderness cannot affect God's promise. But our attitude in the wilderness can. We have to understand that our resurrection experience is solely dependent upon our Garden of Gethsemane attitude. If you can't trust God in the garden, God can't grant you resurrection. God cannot raise you if you don't have trust in him. Our very souls cannot be raised to heaven unless we believe that God sent Jesus and Jesus and raised him from the dead. So we have to have a trust in order to be raised. So our resurrection experience is solely dependent on our Garden of Gethsemane attitude. And we have to believe the promise of God. The reason why Jesus was able to go through what he went through is because he was looking on the other side of the cross. As our scripture is, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was placed before him, endured the cross because of what was on the other side of the cross. He was able to go through it. And I know a lot of times we say things like that, and then it's like, how do I apply this to my life? Have I ever been in the Garden of Gethsemane, or have I ever been in the wilderness and forgot God's promise? How does this translate into life? I'm going to use myself for a prime example. Ever since I was young, this was always in me to own my own business. The thought of working for somebody else my whole life, just, I ain't like it. Ever since I was young, it just didn't even make any sense to me that I would have to work for somebody my whole life. And then as I got older, I'm looking, and I'm like, you got to work until you're 65 before you retire? No. Now, with the way everything is going, you might got to be 70, 75. But it never was in me. I'm going to own my own business. And this is what God put inside of me as a youngster. So as I grew up, I grew up with that same mindset. This is what's going to be for me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this. And this is how I'm going to provide for my family. This is going to be done. And then when I gave my life back to Christ, we was at the retreat. And the prophet spoke everything that I already believed to me about where God was going to take me at. And I was like, wow. Then co-pastor prophesied. And she prophesied and they confirmed it. And I'm like, wow. All right, this is what God is going to do. And when I pray and when I talk to God, I talk to God solely about this promise. Because what was going on around me at that time didn't matter. I just like, this is where God is going to take me. So I believed that I was going to be wealthy. And I would talk to God. I would say, God, yeah, I'm going to rebuild my family house on Anna Street and make that a 3-story so people can come stay. I'm going to give my mom a house. I'm going to build me a house outside of Philly somewhere. We got a lot of land down south. I said, God, yeah, I'm going to build me a house down there in South Carolina. I want to get me a house down Miami. I need a house down there. Yeah, I'm going to get me a house over there in L.A. It's nice over there. I'm going to do that. Then I start watching, like, the MTV and BET by all these rich people. They had all these big, like, fancy brick houses, like, in England somewhere. I said, yeah, God, I'm going to get me one of those. Yeah. I seen the son, they had like these, they was battling, but building the biggest yachts. I said, yeah, God, I'm going to need me a yacht also. Yeah, that's, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is what, yeah, I'm going to have all that. This is how I talk to God. Because I believe the promise. Never knowing I had to go through a wilderness experience. So I was working this job that I hated. I disliked the way he acted. And I got laid off. I had to be the most ecstatic laid off person to ever been laid off in life. Because in my mind, I got laid off because now God's getting ready to give me all that stuff. That's what I thought. I didn't cry. I wasn't mad. I ain't had no job. All I thought was, God is getting ready to open up these doors, and I'm woohoo. My mama house, the house in out of Philly, the house in South Carolina, all of that is getting ready to come to pass. But it was not meant to be immediately, because God had to take me to a period through a period where I had to trust Him. And I did not. I began to allow the things that were going on in my life to make me forget the promise. And then after a while, you know, the unemployment was starting to run out, and I didn't know what to do. And now I'm praying, God, just send me a job that that I could work the rest of my life and retire at 65. I began to underpray. Underpraying is the act of praying according to what you see and not what God says. So from this day forward, when you pray, ask yourself, am I under praying? Now, I'm not talking about don't pray for your immediate needs. No, we know you got to pray for your immediate needs. But when you get in your prayer, don't you forget the promise. Don't you forget what God said. And I forgot the promise. And since I forgot the promise, you know what would have happened to me? I would have ended up in the wilderness for the rest of my life, because I had no idea of the promise in my mind anymore. And God is telling us that I'm getting ready to take y'all into a new season. I'm getting ready to move you outside, out the wilderness, into your promise. But you have to trust and believe in the wilderness that I can take you outside of the wilderness. So the word that God has for us today is, you can either die here or walk into your promise. You can either die here or walk into your promise. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now just thanking you for this time. Thanking you for your spirit. And thanking you for everybody that is gathered here today, God. Father, I just pray that you would just completely move me out of the way. That everything that I've studied, that everything that you have spoken to me will come out, Lord, and just use me, Lord. Just use me on today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can either die here or walk into your promise. God gives us choices. And the disparity between how good the one choice is from how bad the other choice is, when you choose the wrong choice, is really kind of idiotic. In fact, in Bible study last Thursday, I was teaching my class and I was telling them how dumb I have been. Because if God says, walk into your promise or die in the wilderness, when you break that down to a simplest form, why would you ever choose to die in the wilderness? It just don't even make sense. I know God sometimes is looking like, what is this? But we get distracted by everything and we forget what God said to us. And God is trying to bring us into this next level, but we keep looking at everything around us. Yeah. And Sister Ashley was talking about how God dealt with her recently. She said she was walking little Josh. She got his hand. And you know what kids do. They're looking back. Now she's dragging him. Because he's looking at everything around him. And she said she began to get irritated because he is not focused on where he was going. He's looking at everything else. And that's exactly how we become with God. God is like, I'm trying to lead you somewhere. I'm trying to take you out of the wilderness into your promise. But now you're looking all around and you're looking behind you. Well, it's nothing behind you good for you. It's nothing around you good for you. Everything that you want is in front of you. But for some reason... But God is not going to drag us. God's going to begin to walk and say, follow me. You start looking all around and behind you. You're going to look up and God's going to be far from you. Because you did not follow the path. Now where you at? Stuck in the wilderness. Now you're stuck in a place where you're not supposed to be. Now you're nowhere near your goal and you're not being directed by God anymore and you're just still just looking around. Now we're going to get to where we are in Joshua in a few, but before we can get to where we're walking into our promises, we got to deal with some stuff. We got to deal with our attitude in the wilderness. And in the Bible, we have the epitome of how not to act or think in the wilderness with the children of Israel. Right. And it's so easy for us to look at them and say, I wouldn't have did that, but yeah, we do that. Yeah. Just to let that be known. Don't ever think, well, they had God leading them. I would have just followed them. I would have never messed up. Well, we got God leading us. And we're still doing the same thing, but we have chance to change. So our attitude in the wilderness is going to depend on if we make it to our promise or not. But how do we not act? Now, when the children of Israel became in the wilderness, it's because they were enslaved. It's because they were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And God raised up Moses and sent the 10 plagues to take his children out of the bondage and the slavery that they were in. And then they got entangled by the Red Sea, and God opened the Red Sea for them, and they walked over on dry land on their way to the promise, but they just had to go through the wilderness. So God rescued them. God took them out of slavery the same way he takes us out of the slavery of sin, the same way he takes us out of slavery to the devil, the same way he takes us out of slavery to our flesh, and he's taking us towards our promise. All we have to do is go through the wilderness, but the wilderness was never intended for you to live there. So God did all these miraculous things for them as he's done for us. And now he's just leading them. We're just going through the wilderness. Because I want y'all to realize I have a land for you. I'm taking you to this land. But the Israelites get into the land. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. Somehow I have made a mistake. Yeah, that happens. I'm still not perfect. I am not perfect at all. Oh, I wrote down 13 instead of 3. So it's 16, verse 3. And it says, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So as soon as they get into the wilderness, the first thing they think about is dying in the wilderness. And they're just getting there. What, did you bring us out here to die? And they, I'm not going to read every instance where they did that, but they did it again and again and again. They said, "Moses, we don't have any water. Did you bring us to the wilderness to die of thirst?" They said, "Moses, we're hungry. Did you bring us to the wilderness to die in the wilderness?" And the Bible tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when they were in the wilderness, all they did was speak death. And a lot of times we get in our wilderness and we just think this is going to be the last place. There's no way I'm going to get out of it. Even if this is too big for God, I cannot overcome this. And God is saying, well, you can either die there or keep walking into your promise. Because they were supposed to walk through the wilderness. It was never supposed to be no hesitation, no stopping, no parking, none of that. Maybe PPA should have gave them tickets. I don't know. Maybe they would have moved. So they were supposed to keep walking as we are. We are not supposed to be stagnant. We are not supposed to let the wilderness become our home. And I went and read the whole story, and I went and read from where they left the wilderness to where they were condemned in the wilderness. And what I noticed was they never said anything about the promise. Never. They complained. They mumbled. They asked for water. They asked for bread. Then they asked for meat. They never asked for the promise. They completely forgot that they were supposed to be on their way somewhere. And now all they're asking for is water and bread and flesh. And sometimes we can be in our wilderness and our attitude will make us check ourselves into a hospice. We're not at the hospital. We're not trying to get cured. We're not trying to completely overcome. We just want a couple little things that'll make us feel better until we die. But you're not supposed to die in the wilderness. But we just give up all hope. We just give up all hope. This round, this is my lot. Whatever my lot. Thou hast taught me to say, God said, I ain't give you that lot. You chose that. They completely forgot the promise. I mean, I'm reading it. I'm like, so they just ain't never going to say, God, you know, so the promised land? Lord, you leading us to the promised land? Lord, thank you for having the promised land. I can't wait till we get in the promised land. No. Can you just give me some water because I'm thirsty? And God has big visions and plans that he has for us. And we're like, God, well, I don't know if you could be there for me. So just, you know, I don't want to own my own company. I just want to, you know, I just settle for being the vice president. And I know I got to that place where I was settling. Pastor, God, just give me the job to work the rest of my life. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with working a job until it's time for you to retire. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is your expectation of the fulfillment of God's promise should be as big as the promise. Don't expect nothing less than what God said. If you got a 20-family household and God said, I'm going to save everybody, don't you get excited about 19. Don't you stop at 19 because God said 20. So if God spoke anything to your life, don't you stop there. If God spoke healing into your life, don't stop just because you feel better. No, I want this out of me. Whatever God spoke to you, expect exactly what God said. And God told him, I got a promised land for you, and God has a promise for us. So when we're in the wilderness, don't forget the promise. And Nehemiah, he remembered God's promise. In Nehemiah chapter 1, I mean, Israel was in a bad, bad state. And he was just hurt to his heart about what was going on in Israel. So he began to pray to God. But I love how he remembered the promise, because we got to understand, for one, God is his word. Bottom line, he is his word. So if he speaks a word and the word can't come to pass, that would mean God can't exist. So if God speaks this word to you and you grab this word has to come to pass because God is his word. So Nehemiah is in a similar situation, because where he wanted to, his homeland was completely in ruins. And in Nehemiah 1 verse 6, he says, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though thou were cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So God, we are following your rules now. And since your word said you were going to bring us back, God, I'm holding on to your promise. I'm not going to let the fact that Israel is in ruin, I'm not going to let the fact that Israel's walls were broken down. God, I remember you said, I remember you promised that if I just come unto you, you will bring me back and you will restore me and you will have a place that you have already chosen for me. Remember God's word in the wilderness. Remember God's word. Don't be like me and the Israelites. Don't forget the promise. I mean, the promise, it's like Christmas. You're supposed to be looking forward to it. I know my daughter, I don't know where she went, but her birthday is October 21st. October 22nd, she is talking about her birthday the next year, 364 days away. Because of the excitement. Because she knows something is coming. And we in our wilderness times have to know that something better is coming. We have to know that God has a plan for us. We have to know that God wants to give us hope. God wants to give us power. God has all his things for us. But we just got to remember it and trust that God has this for us. And we have to trust God, or we can't trust other things. In Psalms 121, David says, I will lift mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? Knowing my help comes from the Lord. And a lot of times we read that scripture so fast, we make it seem, or we make it imply as if the hills were his help. Now, at that time, Israel a lot of times fought in the hills, and they would win all their battles on the hill. So everybody outside of the kingdom of Israel would say, because they worship many gods, they would say, well, Jehovah, their God, is the God of the hills. We can't beat them in the hills. But if we ever get them down in the plain, if we ever get them down in the wilderness, then we're going to overcome them because their God is only the God of the wilderness. And David said, I'm going to look towards the hill, but where does my help really come from? You can look to the hills of life if you want to. That is not where your power comes from. Because if you are focused on the hills of life, then anytime you experience a wilderness experience or a plain experience, you have no power because you're not really looking to where the power is coming from. If we look at these things, we look at our achievements, we look at the people around us, the people that we're connected to, our jobs, we look at all these things and we think that these things are what's really sustaining us when it's really God. So we got to have that trust in God. We have more trust in income tax. If I claim a kid, I'm going to get about $5,000 this year. But we don't trust God to bless us with that money if we need it for something. So we gotta trust God. And let's turn back to Exodus chapter 23. Because God is letting us know. God is letting us know that I got a place for you. And I'm gonna make sure that you get there if you trust me. Exodus 23:23 says, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Yeah, yeah. So I'm taking you to a place, and I understand it's people there. I understand it seems like you can't win. But that's why I'm letting you know you can't win. That's why I'm telling you I'm sending my spirit. See, a lot of times we feel inadequate. We feel like we're not big enough. We feel like we're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. Well, guess what? We're not. But God is adequate. God is big enough. God is strong enough. God is smart enough. And if we just allow him to lead the way and knock everybody out of the box for us, we can just walk into our promises without fear or worry. But the children of Israel and us, sometimes we solely depend on ourselves and not God. So we look at our own issues and our own weaknesses, and we feel like we can't achieve certain things in life. And that's because we're not trusting that God is going to grant us these things. God never told the children of Israel that you're going to achieve the promised land. He said, I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to give you. I didn't ask you how strong you were. I didn't ask you how you were going to do it. I didn't ask you who you was going to get to help you. I'm telling you, this is mine, and I'm going to give it to you. This is a gift. But in Numbers 13:33, the Israelites were right on the outside. Right on the outside of the promise. And God, you know, he sent the spies to go look at the land so you could come back with the report and tell them what this promise is going to look like. Uh-huh. And when they came back, they said in verse 33, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in theirs. God just told us in 23:23, I'm going to send my angel to knock them out of the box. I didn't tell you to go there and come back and tell me who you can't beat when you get there. But in the wilderness, they feel like they cannot get outside of the wilderness. They're not trusting God to take them, so they're saying, we're grasshoppers in their sight. But how do you even know how they view you? Let's turn to Joshua chapter 2. And this is 40 years later. The same people were occupying the same land that was theirs. And once again, they sent spies on the other side to go check out the land. God's going to do the same thing over again so you get it right. And this is the report that came back when they talked to somebody that was from the land that they were scared to go in before. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. This is somebody from the land that they were scared to go in because they couldn't beat these people. And those people looked at them like grasshoppers. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Hold on. It's bad that the enemy knows that God gave you the land, but you don't know. The enemy sees this thing in the spiritual, and we keep looking in the physical, and we think we can't have it. And the enemy is just like, I'm glad you feel like that, because if you only knew, all you had to do was start walking, and God was going to move me out of the way, because this land is yours. So she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and not only that, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all in the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And you thinking, I'm a grasshopper in that sight. They said, we smaller than grasshoppers. Because the Lord your God, we heard about what he did. We heard he spread the Red Sea. We heard y'all beat the kings. So we knew that we had no win against you. But we see God part our Red Seas. We see God beat our battles. But then we still say, we can't beat the next one. Our mindset in the wilderness has to change. Because once your mindset in the wilderness changes, then you can say, I'm not a grasshopper in that sight. And I got somebody that got my back that I know can't none of them beat. So if I just follow him and let him lead the way, he's going to open up a path and there's nothing going to be able to stop me. Now when we get in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now after the death of Moses, Moses the servant of God, Moses Joshua's leader, Moses prophet of God, Moses the one that spoke to God face to face, Moses the one that had the Ten Commandments, Moses the one that lifted his rod and parted the Red Sea, Joshua, he died in the wilderness. And I'm like, God, why you got to be so blunt? Like, and then in verse 2 he says, Moses, my servant is dead. I'm like, oh God, he was being that. Joshua, as great as Moses was, he died in the wilderness. And this can so easily be you. Because we know Moses, when God told him, speak to the rock and water would come out, Moses hit the rock. And because of his actions in the wilderness, God did not allow him to go into the promise because his attitude in the wilderness was not right. But let's look in Deuteronomy 32. Let's just briefly look at Moses and what happened. And 32 verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses the selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain of Barim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. So God told Moses to go up into this mountain and die. In chapter 34, turn over, says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto that mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And in the south of the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. How would it feel to be so close to your promise and you can see it, but you can't walk in it? So God took Moses up to this hill and said, right over there. Right over there was the promise. But your disobedience in the wilderness, I'm going to let you see it. Look how close it was. So now we're in Joshua, and Joshua's not in the hill. Joshua's in the plain. But you know what? He was right across from the promised land too. And it's like Joshua, Moses died in the wilderness. Do you want to die in this wilderness too? Or do you want to go into your promised land? And we see how God deal with this in Joshua chapter 1 verse 2 says, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. He says, arise, get up and walk. Walk into this promise, Joshua, because if you just stand here, you're not going to get to your promise. If you just worry about the wilderness, you won't get to your promise. Moses died in the wilderness, so walk into your promise. And when I was thinking about this, it's like, who wants to stay in the wilderness? And you know, something I felt bad about for a long time was I would always say, you know, I don't want to go to hell a lot more than I do want to go to heaven. And it kind of bothered me. Like, that just sounds bad, but this is how I felt. I really, really, really don't want to go to hell. Hell was not made for me. I have no business in hell for eternity. Hell is not my home. So now I got to turn my back to hell and say, I got to go the opposite direction. And I got to do everything that I got to do to not go to hell. So now I got to walk towards heaven. Because now the thought of me going to hell is propelling me to go to heaven. And God is saying, you know the wilderness was not for you. You know the wilderness was not created for you to stay there forever. So the fact that you despise the wilderness, the fact that you hate the wilderness, the fact that you don't want to be in the wilderness should propel you to walk into your promise. So you should do everything that you got to do to keep your back to the wilderness and your faith toward the promise and just walk. Now I'm telling you, your promise is here and you're in the wilderness. You can die there if you want to. Or you can walk into your promise. You gotta walk into your promise. I remember one time years ago, I was probably 12 years old, and it was a holiday. I forget which holiday it was, but my grandmother was at co-pastor's house, and I was at my mom's house, and the co-pastor lives in Southwest. I live in South Philly. Love my grandma dearly. Wanted to go see my grandma. I'm getting on my mom's nerves. I want to go see grandma. She's like, ain't nobody coming to get you. Get on the bus. So she gave me the money to get on the bus, however much it was back then. I feel so old saying that. So she gave me the money to get on the bus. So I go to 17th and Washington. I'm 17th and I'm Federal where the bus was. And so I just missed the bus. And somebody was like, yeah, you just missed the bus. And you know it's a holiday schedule. So it's going to be a long time before the next bus comes. So I'm like, I don't feel like waiting for this bus. So I just start walking. I said, I'm going to just walk. And if by chance the bus catches me, the bus catches me. And I walked the whole way and I got there. And what God is saying to us is it is not enough for us to just stand there waiting for something to take us to where we're supposed to be. But if you would just walk, and if by chance I send something to pick you up and feed you on your way, then I send it. But if I don't send it, if you keep walking, eventually you're going to get there. Don't you stand there waiting for the 64? Walk, 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 walk into your promise. Don't you stand still in the wilderness, looking around, looking back? No, walk towards your promise. I got a promise, and not only do I give you a promise, I told you where the promise was at. The promise is right over there on the other side of Jordan. You better get in there and swim or whatever you got to do, but make sure you get to your promise. Trust God.
That's right.
If God told you about this promise, and this is God we're talking about, we're talking about the God who created everything by just speaking it. And he promised you a promise, and not only did he promise you it, he told us, I'm going to send my angel before you to take care of all your issues before you get there. And God wants to take us so far. But we feel like we're not going to make it, or we feel like we don't want to go that far. I'm uncomfortable. I just don't trust God. And I'm thinking about everything always in terms of, you know, children and parents, because that's, you know, how I really see how God really works. And I think about how, you know, how men are with babies. You know, we don't really want the little 6-week-old. We ain't trying to hold them and feed them. We don't want them. We want like the 5-6-month-old that we could play with, throw in the air. Y'all know I ain't lying. It's the first thing the guys do when they get the baby. Throw the baby in the air. Baby crack up laughing. Throw the baby high. Ah, baby cracking up laughing. Throw the baby up higher. Baby high, crack up laughing. Throw the baby up higher. Baby now has a look of fear in his face. Now, if we could, we would throw the baby to the top of the sky and catch the baby when it come down. But anybody in their right mind, when they see the look of fear on the face, they will never throw the baby there high again. And then there's some babies who ain't gonna let you throw them nowhere. I mean, as soon as you go to throw, they're like, no. They grabbing your arms like, no. You're not throwing me up in the ass. No. And the reason the baby has fear is two reasons. One, the baby is uncomfortable being up that high. And two, the baby does not trust and believe that you are able to protect it while you're up that high. And God is saying, I'm going to throw you up. And depending on how you look at me and how high you're going to go. So if I throw you a little high, and you smile, I'm going to throw you first. I'm going to throw you again. And if you look at me and smile, I'm going to throw you first. I'm going to throw you again. If you look at me and smile, I'm going to throw you further. But the moment you look like you don't have trust in me is where I'm going to stop. We always say, we don't trust somebody as far as we can throw them. God's saying, I can only throw you as far as you trust me. Verse 3 says, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And understand this, God sees the end at the beginning, so sometimes he talks in the tense like it already happened, because to him it already did. So he's saying, I already gave you this land. But he says, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. He didn't give them boundaries. Wow. How far are you willing to walk? How far do you want to go? Do you trust that God's going to take you wherever you want to go? Well, however far your feet go, I already gave you that land. And where you stop, that's where it stops. But if you keep going, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You will prosper whithersoever you goest. But in verse 4, he says something that was so, so powerful to me. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Wow. Joshua. Let me get a few people to help me out. CeCe, can you do me a favor? Can you please stand up and stand in the aisle for me? Courtney, can you do the same? Deuce, can you do the same? Come on, brother. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever saw the sun go down? The sunset? Can you imagine how far you were from where the sun set? Raise your hand if when you saw the sunset, you can even think about how far you were from where the sunset. Not you, Brother Dennis. I know you might know the answer. You're going to mess up everything I'm going to do. You're going to mess up the whole illustration. Love my uncle to death. So we see where the sun is setting at. From now where you walk into, just walk towards that. As far as you can go, Joshua. So I want you to walk, Joshua. And don't worry about nothing, Joshua. CeCe, move. Keep walking. Courtney, move out of his way. Deuce, move out of his way. Keep walking, Joshua. Just walk, Joshua. Everything is going to be yours, Joshua. As far as you walk, Joshua. As far as you walk, Joshua. And Joshua just walked full circle all the way back around to where he was. And that lets me know that it's true that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So where you start, you can walk all the way around the world and it's all going to be yours because it all belongs to your daddy. But you just got to trust him. God is getting ready to take us to a season where if we walk, we will be able to succeed and we will prosper whithersoever we go. And if you only got in you to walk 10 feet, I feel sorry for you. I'm walking till I can't walk, till I wear the soles down on my shoes, until I got holes in my socks, until I got collars on my feet, because I believe the promise that God promised me, and I'm not putting limits on God. I'm not saying what God can't do. Too many times we say, we can't do it. God ain't going to do this to me. Don't you say what God can't do. If we just trust God, I'm telling you right now, if we trust God, God is going to take us so far. Smile. When you feel uncomfortable because you're getting kind of far, smile so we throw you first. Don't you ever turn to look at God and look fearful. Because he has not given us a spirit of fear. So when you start looking fearful, you don't look like nothing of his. In Romans 14, 14, it says, 14, 14, I believe 29 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So as soon as you step out of the realm of faith, you sinning. God said, all I want you to do is just have faith in me. And when you trust me, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to block everything out of your way. I'm going to tell people, sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Keep on walking. You sit down. Keep walking. You sit down. Oh, we're getting ready to walk into a season. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Now, I don't know if God's going to give me a recording contract because I can't sing too well like Mike, but I know I have a promise. And no longer will I underpray. I am expecting every jot and tittle of God's promise to come to pass in my life. I don't want nothing less. I want everything that God has for me. I love my daughter, but I don't want my promise to go down to her. She can get the overflow of my promise, but she can't get my promise. She can get the overflow, but she can't have my promise. I'm sorry, baby. This is daddy's, baby. You can't have this, baby. This right here ain't for the kids. This is for me. This is daddy's promise, baby. But guess what? When daddy gets blessed, you're going to get blessed. But you can't have my promise. Oh, I'm not giving my promise to nobody. Oh, we better believe it. We better believe it. We better believe it. Get ready. Be ready. And believe that what you're getting ready for is real. Because it's real. God is getting ready to take us to that level, but you gotta trust Him. And being though that this is you Sunday, our youth, trust God. Whatever God has put in you to be, don't let nobody tell you you can't be it. Because oftentimes when we're young, and somebody's speaking what they want to be, that's because that's what God put in them. And we start quenching the spirit in them of what they're supposed to be. One of my favorite movies is Malcolm X. That don't make me no less saved, do it? It's one of my favorite movies. I don't want to become like 95% Christian and a 5% Muslim because I like Malcolm X. But I love the movie. Love the movie. I got issues, but the Lord's working on them. But in the movie, Malcolm X talks about when he was young. And he was in a classroom, and the teacher was asking everybody what they wanted to be. And he said, I want to be a lawyer. White teacher said, oh, come on, Malcolm. You black. Ain't no black lawyers. You can't be a lawyer. Yes, you know, think of something more realistic, Malcolm. And I know for years, a lot of blacks probably felt like they couldn't be lawyers. But nowadays, I know when everybody thinks of a good lawyer, the first name coming to head is Johnny Cochran, which is a black man who has become the epitome of lawyers. And I know probably 10, 12 years ago, it was probably a black kid said they wanted to be president. Everybody probably told him, come on now, 43 presidents, they all white. No way you can be president. But now, Barack Obama has become the epitome of presidents. So you can be whatever you can believe you can be. And I'm going to tell you what you can't be. You can't be whatever you believe you can't be. Because now you ain't even looking for it. God is opening doors for you to be it, and you walking right by. I can't be that. Somebody left a door open. Walk right by it. God like. Somebody keep walking. People keep leaving their doors open. Parents like Evangelist Winnie was saying, we got to speak into our children. What our children exhibit, we got to nurture and we got to cause them to become it. My daughter, if anybody, you talk to my daughter. She has an imagination out of this world. And she will come, give you some stories. I know she was at the sleepover with Sister Vera. And she's giving Sister Vera all these stories. And she always comes to me with these stories. And for a while, I got mad. Like, nah, stop lying. Stop telling these lies. Jay, I was just making up something. And then she kept doing so. I said, nah, she coming to me, asking me a story. She ready to get up on there. I said, Naya. She said, yes, Dad, you know what I want you to do? She said, what? I said, write a movie. She said, for real? She's excited. I said, Naya, I want you to write a movie because your imagination is just wild. Now that I look back on, I see how God used me, but I was just trying to get out of my hair, honestly. But you know what? Every morning before this girl went to school, she called me reading me her script. Not only did she read me her script, she had a little stepsister with her. They going back and forth doing the parts. She came to my house that Friday and she tried to have rehearsal. Dad, this is your part, this is my part, and this is Shazzy's part, and this is the movie. We got to speak into our children. We can't hold them back. And because I gave her that option, like, write the movie, she was like, me write a movie? I can write a movie? And she was going for it because you know why? Her dad told her that she can write a movie. And our Heavenly Father is telling us that we can be things that we might not know we can be, but these gifts are inside of us, and He's trying to stir it up. He's trying to stir these gifts up right now that we can be these things because God placed it inside of us. He created us, and He knew what it was. He's speaking to us the same way He spoke to Jeremiah. Before you were born, before you were formed in the womb, I had already ordained you to be a prophet. Before you existed, I already knew what your calling was. And God is speaking the same thing to us. Before you were born, before your mom thought about you, before your mom was born, before your dad was born, I already had plans for you. And not only did I have plans, I had all this other stuff designed so when you came into the world, certain things would just come across your path because I'm going to make sure you become what I made you to be as long as you trust me. And yes, I'm taking you through a wilderness. Yes, you might be in a wilderness, but I'm telling you right now, I have a promise for you. Now, you can either die here or walk into your promise. The Lord loves us that much that He thought about us to make plans for us. And not only did He make plans for our natural life, He made plans for our spiritual life. Because all God really desires from us is love and worship. He just wants communion with us. And when we lost that, He put together a plan to get us back. And all the sins that we committed and everything that we did wrong and all the times that we were bad, all the times we ignored Him, all the times we didn't believe in Him, it drove us further and further apart from Him. But He said, I need a way that I can pull them back to me. So He took on a form of flesh and He came down here and He lived a sinless life and He got up on the cross without fault. And He nailed every bad thing that we did to that cross and took it into the grave. And then He rose on the third day with our new life in His hand. And you know what? The Bible says that when Jesus ascended into heaven, He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to men. So Christ's resurrection, He gave gifts to each and every one of us. And the first gift is our salvation. So as we stand all over God's house, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want this power that I've been speaking of today, because the first issue you got to deal with is becoming one of His. Like I said, when God tries to throw you and you put fear, show fear, you look like you're not none of His because fear is not ours, of us, or of Him. So God just wants you to come dedicate your life to Him. If you want to come down and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can come down right now up front and you can accept Him and you can today down regardless of what you did. Today, you can be on this road to us because we getting ready to walk. If you tired of your wilderness, today thou shalt be with us in paradise. Today, all you got to do is come down and accept him. Is there anybody that wants to come except Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? He died for our sins that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Anybody that wants to rededicate their life, they feel like they have been off the road. They were in the wilderness and they didn't follow God. But now I want to come back. Like in Nehemiah, he said, God, we ain't did nothing right. But you said, when we get our act together and when we start to follow you, that you will put us back on the path. And take us to the place that you have chosen for us. So does anybody that want to come rededicate their life to Christ?